around, you notice somebody's missing. So Pastor Danny and Heather and the family, they're out of town for a retreat, and so he's not here. But he didn't leave us alone, just like the Lord promised he would never leave us alone. And so we have a very, very special guest this morning who's going to be bringing forth the word. We have she's from Riverside Community Church, and her name is Bridget Huffman. And please rise up and let's give her a hand as she comes this morning to bring forth the word.
Good morning, Bethel.
Good morning.
So good to see you. My name is Bridget, and by way of introduction, I do have a picture. I did not ask my family for permission before I put this up, but it was the most recent one because I wanted to share with you, I have two ministry opportunities in my life. My first one is my family. And so I wanted you to see a picture of my family, and I think it's the next slide. Yeah, so, we actually went to a pirate game. That's our first time doing that in the past couple years. And so there's my husband, Lee, who is very tall over here. Sorry for pointing you out, husband. And then our four kiddos, the two on the end are teenagers, and they're at our home church. And then Nico is up here with us, and Isaac is downstairs in your kids' ministry area. So thank you for having us. They are my first ministry. Thanks for looking at a picture of yourself, too. I appreciate that. The second ministry is being part of the Side-by-Side Network. So what that is a group of ministers or lay people who want to help resource other churches. So we're part of the Assemblies of God Network, and we love Pastor Danny and his wife, Heather, and are just happy to be here with you this morning. So it's my pleasure to bring you the word. And before we get into it real deep, I'm going to show you some pictures, and you might think that we're actually in an episode of Flip That House, but we're not. So I'm going to show you some pictures first. So my husband, in a long time ago in a previous career, and you could put up the first one. He used to flip houses. And so from time to time, he would get into a project that was a little bit more than he expected. Actually, most of the time, you would get into a project that was more than you expected and a little bit harder and more expensive. So this house in particular had some bad walls. That wall that's circled, and listen, I have nothing to do with this. This is all him. So if I get the words wrong, forgive me. You can ask him for details later. But that wall is actually a foundation wall, and foundation walls are supposed to be straight. This wall was bent like a U. Okay, so we're starting off the bat not so good. Second picture, you can see this wall is not the same wall. The roof was leaking, so there was a lot of water damage, and so this wall was a side wall. It was deteriorated and not good either. And then there was a third wall that was on top of the foundation wall, that because it was on top of the foundation wall, it had to go as well. So, and then our fourth picture, our last one here, he had to take out all of those walls. It was bad, wasn't it? We hired a guy from our church. He brought a backhoe, knocked out those walls because they were faulty. The walls were just too damaged to be useful anymore. So just like the walls in this flip house had to go, we're going to see how the gospel of Jesus breaks down walls in our own lives. Walls will break when we accept and share the gospel of Jesus, because the gospel is a wall breaker. So our message title today is Wall Breaker. We're going to be focused in on Acts chapter 10, but as you know, if you're reading scripture, which I hope that you are doing that on a regular basis, because that's how God transforms our lives, but if you are reading a book of the Bible, it's really helpful to understand who's writing it, why they're writing it, what are the big themes in that scripture, and you know, you can find that in a study Bible, but pretty much everybody agrees that there's a theme verse in Acts, and that theme verse comes from Acts 1, verse 8. And I'm going to read this to you while there's this picture up here behind me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So as we're looking at that, the marching orders from Jesus were to take the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But have you ever wondered, how did the gospel end up here? How did it get to Brighton Heights or Millvale or McKees Rocks or Fineview? How did it get to our area? Borders or walls had to be crossed or broken, as we're going to see in the text today. So the Spirit moved at Pentecost, and then in chapter 8 of Acts, persecution sent Christians throughout Judea and Samaria. And as that gospel moved, there were these figurative lines that people had to cross to get to that next area. And sometimes, let's not romanticize what actually happened. Sometimes it was people saying, hey, I'm going to take a step out, and I'm going to cross that boundary line. But a lot of times, what moved them was persecution, was hard things, push them into a new area, things that they wouldn't have volunteered for on their own. So whether we willingly go or are moved because of our circumstances, we are called to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when this progression happens, we're going to see walls break, because walls break when we accept and share the gospel of Jesus, because the gospel is a wall breaker. Let's pray. Lord, your word is powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. You are here in this place. You have anointed this this room with your presence, this body of believers. And God, we invite you in. Take over. Do what only you can do. Minister in a way only you can. This is about you, Lord Jesus. Open our hearts, open our minds to your scripture, to the inspired words that we have available to us, and move us. Move us to the next ring in the circle. Push us out so that we can be obedient to the call you have on each one of our lives. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to see a bunch of walls come down in Acts chapter 10. And if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open that up. Or if you have a digital Bible, you can get to the 10th chapter of Acts. And if you're newer to the Bible, it's about three quarters of the way through in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So we're going to start right in chapter 10, verse 1. And it starts off saying, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. And you've heard this already. Thank you, Habiba. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So we're looking at this scripture for Peter to share the gospel with this guy, Cornelius. So we're looking at this scripture through the eyes of getting Peter to share Jesus with Cornelius. If we know about Peter and you read this, there's a red flag here. There's a barrier. There's a problem. We're being introduced to a Gentile. Jews didn't mix well with Gentiles. This guy wasn't even just a regular old Gentile. He was a Roman, and the Romans were oppressing Israel at the time. So there were a lot of things that would have been a struggle for Peter, because this guy's kind of like the enemy. He's the one you know, if Cornelius is coming down the street and you're Peter, you're going to go to the other side. You're not going to make eye contact. You'd rather just avoid the interaction with Cornelius. He really, really, even though we've got nice things said about him, there's a cultural barrier here. And the question is, could the good news of a Jewish Messiah really be shared with a guy like this that's so different? Now, the wall, I'm going to call it a word, and I don't want you to get freaked out by the word. The word is prejudice, and I know sometimes when we hear that word, we automatically get bristly or something, and I just want to clarify what I mean by the word prejudice. The word prejudice is a negative attitude about a person because of their membership in a particular group. So we're seeing this wall here, and the wall is that Peter is Jewish and Cornelius is not. And it's a problem, right? When we evaluate the worthiness of a person to receive the gospel simply based on their association with a group, this is an issue, right? The good news, though, is that the gospel breaks the wall of prejudice. Wall, amen, right? The gospel breaks the wall of prejudice because walls are going to break when we accept and share the gospel of Jesus Christ because the gospel is a wall breaker. We don't just mentally say, I'm not going to have prejudice. We share the gospel because that's the good news. Now, Luke's words here are sort of sounding like a contradiction then, because if Peter is looking at Cornelius as, hey, he's a Roman centurion, he's a Gentile, I'm not going to get along with him, there's an automatic prejudice barrier here. This isn't like, you're not going to look favorably on him, right? But just like we heard earlier this morning, Luke, who is the author of Acts, paints Cornelius in a really favorable light. He tells about all the good things that he's doing, that he's giving alms to the poor, that he's praying, right? The thing is that doing good is actually not the same as being saved or being in a right relationship with God. We're not saved by our good works. From Romans 11:6, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. So we can admire Cornelius all we want, and he did so many good things, but if he had everything he needed to be saved, there would be no need for Peter to share the gospel with him, right? So some of us need to hear this, and I'm going to put myself first in line, right? I showed you a picture of my kids. I'm a mom. Moms try to control behavior sometimes, okay? And that goes to the core of what we have an issue with here, moralism. Moralism is when we prioritize right behavior over faith in Christ. Can be a wall that actually prevents us and others from experiencing the true gospel. It's looking at our behaviors, it's looking at our actions, it's looking at what we achieve as our value. It's when we only accept perfection from ourselves because we start thinking works are more important than anything else. But the sad truth is that moralism elevates our own actions over the death and resurrection of our Savior. We don't have more worth to the Lord because we do more good things. Our value comes because He loves us. It's about Him, it's about His work. And it's so easy to let this slip into our theology. And I need to be reminded of this on the regular. I drift back into this. We can never earn our way into God's grace. Amen. Earning grace is an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp. Yeah, think about it for a second. We can't earn grace. You can't earn grace. Your works are not what get you saved. We receive grace, and then we express gratitude with our actions. It's really important we get the order right. Now, I was preparing this and reviewing yesterday morning, and I was praying, and something odd happened, and I want to just mention it. So I got this impression that perhaps there are those here, or maybe just one, who is laboring in prayer for a wayward kid. And when I was thinking, praying this, and praying for our time this morning, I was not outside while this happened, but it almost felt like I was choking under the anxiety and the oppressiveness of how you're experiencing your wayward kid. And I think what God was saying was that God is working to bring them home. Take a deep breath. I had to write it down. Take a deep breath and don't stop praying. Don't give up hope. And if that was meaningful to you, while we're worshiping later, if you would just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you would come over and talk to me, we could pray about that. I would also ask you to pray for my dad, because I'm looking at that through the eyes of a daughter who has a wayward father. So that's a little bit of an aside, but something I thought that God wanted me to say this morning. So, we were chatting about the walls of moralism, right? Let's just get it crystal clear here. Good works flow out of faith in Christ. Good works are not what save us. And this is so good. The gospel breaks the wall of moralism. Walls will break when we accept and share the gospel of Jesus. The gospel is a wall breaker. So we move on with the account. We've been introduced to Cornelius, and we're going to read a little bit more about him. So this is picking up in verse 3. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. Can you even imagine? You're praying and an angel shows up. Thank you, God. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. This is the kind of thing that has the Holy Spirit's fingerprints all over it. How many of you can testify that God still works like this? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Do not stop believing that God, he is positioning you so that you have influence over the people who are around you to share the gospel of Jesus. He orchestrates things like this all the time. Betty, this morning, what about our interaction? We neither one of us normally are here, and we have a common person that we really care about. Just wait and see what happens next in this account. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Betty went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. So now we're talking about Peter again. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its 4 corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." Not clear. This is not clear. If you're looking at it from our cultural perspective, this is really confusing, but we're going to try to make sense of this. So I just want to point out, this is how we know that scripture is not fabricated. When you get random details, somebody who's making something up doesn't put in random stuff like Peter was hungry. Okay, thanks. Thanks for letting us know. Peter was hungry, and then he sees this very strange vision, and he's told to go kill and eat. So the best way I can explain this, I had a very good friend when I was in fourth grade, devout Jew, and when she came to my house, she was not allowed to eat our bacon. She couldn't eat our hot dogs or our bologna sandwiches. Pretty much the only thing she was allowed to eat at my house was grilled cheese sandwiches, because she was keeping Jewish dietary laws. And that's what Peter was doing as well. Jewish dietary laws were important in the Old Covenant, but what the whole point of them was to keep the Jews as a separate and holy nation in preparation for the Messiah. But then once Jesus came, he said he was the fulfillment of the law, so they didn't really actually have to keep doing that. In other words, you can eat what you want and not be out of line with God's plan. So go to the breakfast and have bacon. That is all good. So Peter was being raised. He was raised on a kosher diet. He was raised to follow Jewish dietary laws. So when he saw this vision of like kill and eat, he was looking at that like, oh no. This is against the laws of my religion. I am not supposed to do this. It doesn't make sense to him. And we can tell it doesn't make sense because of the next few verses. So picking up, we're skipping to verse 14. No, Lord. Ha. No, Lord. Anyone see the contradiction in that? Okay. This is not a good start for Peter. No, Lord. You can't say no to someone you call Lord. No, Lord, Peter declared. I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated three times. Our Lord knew Peter. He knows us too. Three was going to speak to his heart. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Now, we've got a subtly different wall here that needs to get broken. The wall is called legalism. So the gospel also breaks the wall of legalism. And legalism is the conviction that you have to follow all the rules in order to be at peace with God. Peter, think about this for a minute. Peter knew Jesus died and rose again. I mean, nobody had more intimate knowledge than Peter did. But he's also hanging on to the rules like they're a requirement for being saved. Remember, from Galatians 2:16, it says, a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord knows that Peter can't fulfill this mission to go tell Cornelius about him while this wall is in place. But it's Peter. It needs to be forceful so he understands. He gets it three times. And God tells him, hey, Peter, if I'm calling something clean, don't you go and call it unclean. Let's get this straight. When you said no, Lord, let's switch that around to say yes, Lord. Now, it's about Peter's diet, but it's really not about his diet. It's a state of mind, right? When we think we have to follow all the rules, when we're really free. Walls will break when we accept and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because our gospel is a wall breaker. So let's see what happens next. Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. The Lord gives us what we need to fulfill the mission he has for us. Peter needed the details. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And Peter, at that moment, has to make a really important decision. Is he going to listen to the Lord's voice, or is he going to go back into the rules and regulations of his own religion, his old religion? Where Jesus' voice went out, will preconceived notions, prejudice, in the name of religion prevent him from doing the will of the Lord? Was the vision enough to convince him? Could he really cross the line from ministering only to people like him to people who looked very different than him? Walls have to break so that the gospel of Jesus gets shared. And God wasn't giving Peter this vision just for Peter's sake. The Lord was breaking down walls in his disciples' heart so that he could share with Cornelius. So what did Peter do when that knock came? Hey, we're here for Peter. What's he going to do? He said, he went downstairs and basically said, I'm the man you're looking for. Let's come on in for a minute and then I'll go with you. And that's the moment we recognize that the walls are being broken in Peter's heart. Jews and Gentiles don't hang out together. And these guys who came to the door, they were Gentiles too. And Peter said, come on in. So why would Peter be willing to throw out all the cultural norms and standards, all the prejudices? The gospel of Jesus Christ. So Peter goes with Cornelius and he shares the gospel, or goes with Cornelius's men and shares the gospel with Cornelius. Now, we keep saying the gospel does this, the gospel does this, the gospel breaks down walls, but let's make sure we understand what the gospel is. Peter tells us, and every time Peter preaches in the book of Acts, it takes the form, who is Jesus? Why did he come? Who is Jesus? Why did he come? And we're going to see it straight out starting in verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. The gospel, the good news, is about having peace with God. Without Jesus, we have no peace. And there's only one way to get that peace, and that's to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we need to know who he is and why he came. So that's what Peter does next. In verse 38, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. Jesus was a real man who did great and miraculous things through the blessing of his Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. He truly, really lived on earth. Other people saw him. There were eyewitnesses' accounts. He was a real man. Peter goes on, they put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Jesus was murdered, but he didn't stay dead. He came back to life on the third day. And Peter makes it a point to assure Cornelius that Jesus didn't come back in some spirit form. He had a physical body. He ate and drank with the disciples. And Peter is a witness. And then Peter goes on, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify. That's our commission too, right? Church, this isn't just somebody with a microphone. This is all of ours. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying, everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Everyone who believes in him. Believing in him is necessary for peace with God. When we find Jesus, we find forgiveness. The walls that separate us from being at peace with God come down. Because of Jesus, we are saved and we have forgiveness from sin and we have freedom. Thank you, Jesus. This message was never meant for a small group of men in Jerusalem. It wasn't meant to be contained in Judea. It wasn't meant to stop in Samaria. It was meant to go to the ends of the earth, because the good news of Jesus is for all who believe, not just the people who look like us, not just the people who have the same political views, not just the people who follow the same rules that we do or operate from the same social status, but for all who would believe on the name of Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. The gospel has no room for prejudice. Our good deeds flow out of the gospel, and we have to keep the gospel as the priority. Following the rules, that doesn't save us either. The blood of Jesus saves us. Walls are going to break when we share and accept the gospel of Jesus, because the gospel, our gospel, is a wall breaker. So even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. The presence of the Holy Spirit showed the Jews that the Gentiles could also be in fellowship with Jesus. We're, I assume, most of us are Gentiles, if not all, right? That's us. Immediately, Cornelius and his family, his household, were invited to be baptized in order to show that they had found Jesus and were following him. So my questions, have you found Jesus? Are you following him? Have you been baptized? Have you received the second baptism of the Holy Spirit? This isn't a checklist, but these are ways that we thrive in our relationship with Christ. Just to recap where we've been, we started with a Roman soldier who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus. And in order for him to hear about Jesus, a few walls had to come down. The wall of prejudice, the wall of moralism, the wall of legalism. God helped Peter to move past those walls so that he could travel to Cornelius to share the true gospel, the news. And if you need a verse where you're like, wait, what exactly is the gospel? It's from 1 Corinthians 15:3-5. That Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter himself. That's it. We want to add to that. We want to take away from that. We want to make it more complicated. That's it. The gospel is a person. It's Jesus Christ. And when this was being preached, the Holy Spirit blew in and empowered Cornelius and his household to praise and speak in tongues. The work that God had done was celebrated with a baptism service. That's why we do that as a church. Worship team, if you are able to come back up, that would be great. Can we talk for a minute about walls? Walls can become really comfortable. They help us to make sense of the world and to operate in a box. They help us to feel safe and comfortable. But the truth is that those walls we talked about today, instead of protecting us, become more like a prison or a containment structure. And these walls that we talked about, prejudice and moralism and legalism, they insulate us from the desperation of the people who don't already know Jesus. They may appear to shield us, but they prevent us from carrying out the Great Commission. Peter, but be encouraged, church. Peter was a follower of Jesus, and he still had walls, right? We're in process. I get that. And this wall-breaking business can take some time. But the more we hear, admire, and receive the gospel of Jesus, the weaker those walls become. The more central the message of Jesus' death and resurrection in our lives, there's less of a need for the walls. But the fear I have is that if we let those walls stay up and we don't address them, we're not going to reach the end of the earth with the message of the gospel. Sharing our testimony, or if God is calling you to be a missionary, listen and do it. Obey. It has to be part of our lives. When our focus is on the walls, it leads us to fear, self-consciousness, being offended, angry, hatred, instead of our focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, on the love, on the sacrifice, on what he did for us and what he did for people who don't even know it yet. We can't have our comfort and sharing the gospel being the priority. We have to choose. And when we choose to be uncomfortable for the sake of the gospel, we're going to look at people different. You're going to see people that frankly are a little bit annoying, and you're going to look at them and think, they need to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus. How can I be a part of sharing the word with them? So will you allow some walls to fall this morning? Don't leave here without addressing that with him. We're going to have some time to pray, and then I'll close us this morning. I just ask you to remember why the walls need to come down. It's for the Corneliuses around us. Remember the flip house we saw earlier? That job, messy, scary, very expensive, but it was necessary. I want to show you some after pictures of the house. Yeah, my husband does good work. This flipped house ended up being built better because the walls came down. Walls are going to break when we accept and share the gospel of Jesus, because the gospel is better, more powerful, and stronger, and eternal. Let's ask for the Lord's help as we pray. God, thank you for the refocus on our foundation of faith. Thank you for words that were preserved for centuries so that we could learn from Peter and Cornelius's experience. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is still here, moving, and is alive and well. Church, with our eyes closed, is there anyone here this morning that is saying, I don't know that I have accepted the true gospel? And if that's you and you want to know Jesus in a personal way, if you would raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning. Thank you, God. And church, if you haven't been baptized, what are you waiting for? Go back to the back table later on, sign up to be baptized. And if there is someone who has been brought to mind this morning, somebody who's a Cornelius in your life, would you raise your hand? There's somebody you need to either share the gospel with, thank you, Jesus, or break down a wall for, thank you, Jesus. I see your hands. God, we pray for those who are raising their hands or who didn't raise their hands, but they've got somebody who needs to hear your gospel, not a made-up gospel, not one that involves things other than Jesus, but your gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray for boldness, for opportunity, that it wouldn't be forced, but it would be Holy Spirit guided, just like this account was. And God, I pray that these who've raised their hand and others would come back to this church and share what you have done and how you've brought people into your family. God, we want to see the harvest. And lastly, God, for any of those wayward kids or my dad, God, we pray you bring them home. For those who are laboring in prayer, who are waiting with expectation but feel like they can't wait anymore, God, give them peace in this time. Give them hope. We know you go after the lost. We pray you bring them home. Thank you for this special moment today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just close by asking that God give us an opportunity to share the true gospel this week. Don't let too much time go by between this message and opening your mouth. God, we pray that you give each of us an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit's prompting. Soften our hearts so that we obey. Let us say yes, Lord, not no, Lord. God, do work that only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God. Go find the one.